You consume it daily. You go through more than you probably realize. You are literally made of it. But how much do you really know about water? Join me, Lake Storywater, and my droid, H2O, as we travel in search of the science behind water and water-related concepts. This is Story of Water. Back on June 22, 2021, 962 square miles of Lake Michigan, stretching from the Wisconsin shoreline cities of Two Rivers in the north to Port Washington in the south, was designated as a National Marine Sanctuary. The area the Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary encompasses contains 36 known shipwrecks and up to 60 shipwrecks that research suggests could be located in this area. Most of the known shipwrecks are from the time frame between 1830 and 1930. However, some of the shipwrecks that have yet to be discovered could be even older, an exciting possibility for researchers. Another bonus for researchers is that the shipwrecks in this area are very well preserved thanks to the icy cold fresh water at the lake's bottom. According to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, this designation will bring about new opportunities for research, resource protection, educational programming, and community engagement. Wasting no time, NOAA's Office of National Marine Sanctuaries began conducting surveys of the area. Using a variety of autonomous technology, researchers from Marine Magnetics, Ocean Infinity, the University of Delaware, the University of Miami, and the NOAA National Centers for Coastal Ocean Science descended on the area in late July 2021 to collect data that would help unveil some newly discovered shipwrecks. With the help of area organizations such as the Wisconsin Historical Society, Wisconsin Sea Grant, and the Wisconsin Maritime Museum, the researchers set up a research station in Two Rivers, Wisconsin. The team surveyed near a 7-mile-long point known as Raleigh's Point, where 9 shipwrecks had already been discovered and where 8 more may possibly be located. During the 3 weeks of the survey, I had the opportunity to visit the station, speak with the researchers, and get a hands-on look at the technology and equipment they were using. Here's what they shared with me. Underwater archaeologists from the University of Miami teamed up with a company called Marine Magnetics to use an uncrewed aerial vehicle, or UAV, equipped with a magnetometer to search for magnetic anomalies that could be sunken ships. The UAV in use was a hexacopter drone, the DJI Matrix 6000 Pro. Attached to the UAV by a 3-meter cord was a magnetometer, which is a device that measures the strength of magnetic fields. The UAV is expertly flown over water at a constant altitude so that the magnetometer that is dangling from it is always 1 meter over the surface of the water. In order to get the best magnetic readings, the UAV creates a grid pattern by going back and forth over a set area. The area is typically confined to a space that can be covered in 30 minutes, which is the length of the battery life. The fastest the UAV can travel while still getting reliable magnetic readings is 15 miles per hour, but for the most accuracy, the UAV typically won't go faster than 11 miles per hour, which is about 9 knots or 5 meters per second. The advantage of using a magnetometer over other technologies, such as sonar, is that the magnetometer can sense objects that are buried under the sediment. As the UAV flies, the magnetometer is interpreting the magnetic field of the Earth that it is going over. This appears as a moving line graph on a computer that is capturing the data in real time. What the researchers look for are magnetic anomalies, such as the iron bolts of a ship. They compare their readings to the baseline of Earth's magnetic field. Now, since Earth's magnetic field is always changing and shifting, they must also monitor this data in real time as well. Once they are done with a sweep, the data is converted into a visual from each pass that reveals different shapes and colors. Magnetic anomalies, such as items containing iron, appear white amidst a red and green background. The sample I was shown was an egg or oval shape, which resembled a long ship. The researchers also came to Lake Michigan equipped with a magnetometer that could be towed behind a boat. They said that this is only the second magnetometer drone combination that has been used to search for shipwrecks, but they insist this is the first that has been successful. One of the main advantages of the drone is that it can be used over shallow water that other boats may have difficulty reaching. They told me of using a magnetometer to search for the lost ships of Hernan Cortez in a 30 square mile area off the coast of Villarica de la Veracruz, Mexico, which was the first Spanish town Cortez established in 1519. They were optimistic about some of the findings in Lake Michigan, and they were excited to present their findings after more investigation. Ocean Infinity, a company known for its autonomous search boats, supplied an autonomous surface vehicle, or ASV. If the name Ocean Infinity sounds familiar, it is probably because their claim to fame is that they searched for the Malaysian Air Flight 370 that went down somewhere in the Indian Ocean in 2014, as well as finding the lost ARA San Juan submarine that went missing off the coast of Argentina in 2017. Their boats are also used for mapping out the ocean floor for commercial and industrial use, such as for finding the best place to install an offshore wind turbine. The Ocean Infinity ASV looks like a speedboat, although it isn't designed to go fast. It is 8 meters long, powered by two 45 horsepower diesel engines, and can go a maximum speed of 8 knots. It can be fully automated, spending up to a week on its own searching the ocean depths. There is also a remote joystick that allows it to be driven manually when needed. Researchers set up their station in another boat, and thanks to radar and FLIR, which is forward-looking infrared, these cameras help the researchers see what the boat sees in real time. The middle of the boat contains the technological gear that can be customized based on the mission. In this case, the boat was using multi-beam sonar to look for shipwrecks. Multi-beam sonar sends out sound waves in a fan-shaped pattern below the boat. The sound waves travel through the water until they hit something and will then bounce back to receivers on the ship. The amount of time it takes to bounce back is calculated, and researchers are able to put together a picture of what the bottom terrain looks like. If there is a ship, it will look like a raised area from the surrounding terrain. An interesting side note on this technology is that this is the first time that an Ocean Infinity boat is on a Great Lake. Before this, they had all been calibrated to be in saltwater oceans. Because of the fresh water and the thermal climate in Lake Michigan, which is an area where there is a steep drop in temperature, the sonar had to be recalibrated for this. This is because sound actually travels about 33 meters per second faster in saltwater than in freshwater. It also travels faster in warmer water than cooler water. Sound travels about 15 feet per second faster for every 1.8 degree Fahrenheit rise in temperature. Researchers from the University of Delaware provided and operated three vessels for exploring the waters. The first was an unmanned surface vehicle, or USV. Known as an Echo boat, this was very similar to the Ocean Infinity ASV, but being smaller, could go into tighter places. This boat was controlled by what looked like a remote for a toy boat. The remote allowed for a route to be programmed into it as well, so it could also be an autonomous vehicle if needed. With a top speed of 4 knots, this 2.5 meter long boat runs on a battery that can last up to 8 hours. The boat was equipped with hydrography technology made by a company called Seafloor Systems. Hydrography is the measure and description of the physical features of bodies of water. The technology in use here was side-scan sonar. Unlike multi-beam sonar, side-scan sends just one sound wave and calculates how long it takes to come back. Like multi-beam, a picture of what the seafloor looks like comes back as well. The closer an object is to the boat, the darker it appears. It paints a fairly easy picture to see when a dark oblong shape, such as that of a ship, rises from the light-colored background that is the seafloor. The second vessel was an autonomous underwater vehicle, or AUV. This device was one that went underwater, unlike the previously mentioned ones. It was shaped like a missile, 2.5 meters long, and can cruise along at up to 5 knots. This could be programmed to map out the terrain at the bottom of the lake, using sonar technology for up to 20 hours or 40 miles before needing either a battery change or recharge. In addition, this AUV was equipped with a digital camera, so it could take photos of what it found. The last vessel was a remote operated vehicle, or ROV. This is basically a mini remote controlled submarine about the size of a laundry basket. Equipped with 2 lights, 4 cameras, and a sonar system, it is controlled with something similar to a video game controller, with a big screen in the middle to monitor a live video feed. It also contains a robotic arm with a claw on the end that can allow it to grab samples if needed. The ROV is connected to a battery by a long tether, which also doubled as a way to retrieve the ROV should it become unresponsive. The ROV's main use would be to verify if findings from the other vessels were indeed shipwrecks, especially at depths that may be too deep for divers. Combining all these vehicles, this team could explore possible shipwrecks at depths up to 500 feet. Wisconsin Sea Grant showcased some of its educational opportunities for educators to bring underwater exploration technology to life for their students. Wisconsin Sea Grant actually loans out an ROV similar to the one just mentioned previously. Imagine the excitement on students' faces when they get to operate an ROV and see what the cameras view underwater in real time. With a controller that is similar to a video game controller, students are intuitively able to pick up on how to control the ROV very quickly. In addition to this ROV, Wisconsin Sea Grant also has lesson plans for teachers to lead their students in building their own simple ROVs. If interested, check out their website at seagrant.wisc.edu. I would like to thank the folks at the Wisconsin Maritime Museum for providing this opportunity to meet with such wonderful researchers and learn about cutting-edge technology in underwater exploration. I learned much, and I hope you found my description of the research in the new Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary interesting. If you want to learn more about this expedition, check out the blog at story-of-water.com. You can see some photos of the technology and find links with more information about the Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary. As always, stay hydrated. Thanks for joining us on Story of Water. If you liked what you heard, why not subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast provider? Let your friends and family know about it as well. Connect with us and listen directly at www.story-of-water.com. Check out the blog or email us feedback. If you really enjoyed the show, become a Patreon supporter. Just click the donate button on our website. Remember, stay hydrated. See you next time on Story of Water.